So amazingly, God became a man. That's what we're celebrating on Christmas, right? That's the second person of the Trinity. The Word became flesh. God, who has always been, who was not created. The big theological word is the incarnation, that he took on flesh. He was born of the Virgin Mary, that the Holy Spirit miraculously caused Mary to conceive and be with the child of God, so that when she had that child, he was both fully God and fully man. This is important theological truth that we need to understand. Jesus not with part man, part God, or fully man who understood God, or all God and no flesh. He was fully God and fully man. The big theological word that I want you to think about, that's called the hypostatic union. Fully God and fully man, the incarnation, that God was actually with us, the incarnation. You got to understand, when they write this verse in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, when they say God became flesh, Emmanuel, their minds are blown, because God had always been. They've seen his power in Egypt. They've seen him do miracles. They've seen him deliver the people of Israel over and over again with mighty signs and wonders. And they said, this God has become flesh. And it blew them away. And what they felt was God was with us, that name Emmanuel, and he loves us so deeply. The fact that God became flesh to dwell among us, it shows us how much God loves us. Amen? This is not an abdicating father. This is not an absentee landlord. This is a God who comes right face to face with us and says, I love you. And that is what Jesus is doing in his life. He's saying, I'm here with you. I'm going through pain with you. I'm feeling what you feel. I understand your brokenness, and I'm here to heal you. Jesus steps right into that, both God and man. Now, we're focusing on our brokenness individually, but I want you to understand is when we really love someone, we're willing to become like them to understand them. We say, what are you going through so I can understand you, so I can empathize with you, so I can walk with you? We become like people to understand them. And Jesus condescended from heaven. He came down from heaven to be like us, to understand us, and go through what we go through in a way, yet sinless, so we could really have a strong relationship with us. You know, Jesus is the connection point between God and man. He is the bridge. He is the doorway. He is the way, because he bridges the relationship between God and man that's been broken. And he did that by becoming like us, becoming one of us, yet fully having his divinity. I remember hearing a story that really impacted me. One of my favorite pastors in the 20th century who passed away. His name was John Stott. I don't know if many of you know him, but what a wonderful man, a sacrificial man, an intelligent man, a loving man, a humble man. But what he did, I think he was a veteran, and when he came back from one of the wars, he lived in London, he always felt for people who were in dire need, specifically the homeless. And so one night he said, I'm going to live as if I'm homeless this night. I'm taking no money. I'm not taking a blanket. I'm going to feel everything they feel. And he went and he lived under this bridge. And the things he encountered, his friend describes, because he didn't boast of it. He told his friend who had a story, he said, he heard the mentally disturbed talking to themselves all night and groaning. He saw prostitutes walking to and fro. He saw drunken men just passing out. And he saw the homeless trying to shelter themselves with newspapers and cover themselves. And he did the same thing. He said, I'm not using a blanket. And he felt the cold and the hardship and all those things that go with being homeless for that night. Then he got up the next morning, because he had no money, he had nowhere to get food. And he kind of followed some of the crowd there, and they would go to different stores, and they would say, can we work to make money? And he saw how harsh the people were with the homeless. And then one of the guys who was harsh at the store said, go to Salvation Army. They got something there for you. I don't want to deal with you. And so he followed them there, and the person who was working at Salvation Army was so nasty with this homeless guy. And finally, John Stott, in a righteous anger kind of way, lost it. And he said, why are you doing to this man? You should be telling him about Jesus. Why are you being harsh with him? You should be loving him like the Christ. And why I need you to hear that, because many of us think that God comes into our brokenness and he's fed up with us. A God comes into our brokenness and he pushes us out. A God comes into our brokenness and he runs away. It's the total opposite. Like John Stott, he stepped into the homeless community's brokenness and he loved them more because he understood what they were going through. Jesus steps into our brokenness and he came not to condemn us, but it caused us to love him. He loves us even in a deeper way because he understands the temptation and the weakness and the frailty that we go through, and he wants to step in to heal. That's what the incarnation really in many ways is all about. When he sees your drunkenness, when he sees your substance abuse, he's not running away scared. He's running towards you to bring sobriety. When he sees your sexual immorality, he's not running away and giving up on you. He's running towards you to purify you. When he sees you battling mental illness, he's not, they need to be stronger. Oh, why do I have a child like that? He bleeds for you and he runs towards you and says, let me bring you peace. Jesus is in our brokenness. God became man to be with us because he loves us so deeply. Amen? So that's the first thing I want us to hear. He took on flesh to be with us. And Jesus understands our brokenness. Is rejection part of your story? Is rejection part of your story? You were just rejected by the people who were so close to you, and it broke your heart, and it hurt your soul. And you're still trying to recover from it. Let me tell you, Jesus experienced rejection more than anyone experienced rejection. And he wants to step in and heal you and make you know you're accepted by the most important, God himself. Has someone abused you horrifically? Has someone abused you horrifically? Jesus understands abuse. He was abused and mutilated and murdered. And he wants to step into your abuse and he wants to bring healing. Have you been slandered? Have people slandered your name and talked about you and false accusations? Jesus understands that slander. And he steps in and he says, I've been through that. And I can teach you how to not only get through that, I can teach you how to forgive those who have slandered you. Do you guys see the power in that? A God who understands because he was one of us. See, when you've been through something that someone else has been through and you see their pain, you bleed a different way. You cry a different way. You pray a different way. You fight a different way. You walk alongside them a different way because you've been through what they've been through and you understand that pain and you want them to heal. Is there truth to that? Jesus has been through what we've been through in temptation, with battling the enemy, with having broken tough family relationships, with seeing all this brokenness, with going through the struggle of being human, yet without sin. He understands what you're going through, and he wants to step into your brokenness and bring restoration. One of my favorite scriptures is found in Hebrews 4:15. It says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. What does that say? You have a Savior who empathizes with your weaknesses. Doesn't that make you feel that God is with you? That God is with you. He's with us. God is with us. He understands our brokenness. Not only does he understand our brokenness, he steps into it. I was watching a video on YouTube, and the video, it showed two deer. And these two deers, I think they call it bucking up, their antlers got stuck together. But what happened is one deer was alive and one deer was dead, half eaten by a coyote. So I don't know what happened as the deer came along, tried to find out what was going on, went down, got, you know, tangled up in the antlers, and his neck was tired and he couldn't get out. And there was three coyotes standing on the hill just looking at him like he was an appetizer. And there were three guys who were out that day, and they were videoing it was going on. And what happened is you have the coyotes looking at the deer who's bucked up, and you have the dead carcass, and he's trying to drag around this dead carcass. Then you have these men trying to step towards this deer to untangle his antlers. But the deer is petrified. The deer thinks that the guys are there to hurt him. So he's petrified. So the deer doesn't know how to take this. Why are they here? Are they going to kill me? Am I going to end up like this? And they grab the antlers and they're trying to pet him and say it's going to okay. And they're trying to rip these antlers out and they're trying. And finally, after a long time, they rip the antlers out. And this deer took off like it was his first day alive, just doing dead leaves, like just living. He was like, I'm free right now. He thought it was the last chapter. He said, this is it, guys. And you just saw him leap and he's standing off and all the guys are cheering. The reason I tell you that story, because that dead carcass is our brokenness. That dead carcass is our brokenness. And we are that deer and we get tangled up and we feel the weight of our brokenness, that rejection, that abuse. We can't get our neck up. We feel like we're never going to get out. And Jesus is coming towards us, but we think sometimes that Jesus has come there to do us harm. But no, he's trying to untangle that brokenness. See, God, when he comes near, it's always to heal. It's always the call to restoration. And he's ripping those antlers, and he's doing this, but you're scared. But he's trying to, through his Holy Spirit, he's saying, it's going to be okay. I got you. Then we get tangled. We feel the freedom in the gospel, and you do that little dare leap out there. Right? You guys see that? I want you to see that God is with us, and he's coming towards you, coming towards us to heal us, to bring you to places of greener pastures, the places where you know the fruit of the Spirit, peace, love, joy, gentleness, kindness, self-control, all those things that will help you walk through your brokenness. And that's why Jesus came to earth. He came to walk in our brokenness, to step in there, to get in the mess, to help us be set free. So I want to give you just a couple practical ways to think about cooperating with Jesus when he's healing you from your brokenness. And the first one is the main theme we're talking about today. God is with us. God is with us. The incarnation, the birth of this baby, fully God and fully man in this world, is making a statement to all creation. It's a call of love that God is with us to step into our brokenness and save us. So whatever you're going through, remember this. God is with you. What do we tell our children when they're going through brokenness and they're afraid and they're going through something? We say, I'm here with you. I'm here with you. You're not in this alone. I'm with you. And that's what we need to hear, the first thing. For those of you who are trying to walk in sobriety, and I know when you try to walk in sobriety, all these emotions come up that you've been trying to suppress for years. Okay? The guilt, the memories, the past, the hurt, the abuse. They all come to the forefront because you can't numb them anymore. And you're trying to walk in that sobriety. Jesus will walk with you and step into your brokenness. And he will cause you to walk in sobriety. And the greatest thing you need to know is that God is with you. Amen? Some of you, the holidays are not a time to be joyful. They actually remind you of your loneliness. They remind you of your loneliness. They remind you of maybe family that has passed away. Christmas is a tough time. Jesus steps into that loneliness. And what if this Christmas was one you felt the intimacy of God and the love of God more than you've ever felt before because Jesus stepped into that brokenness and he let you know, because this is the truth, please hear me, that he is with you, he is for you, and he loves you deeply. And you'll see what God does is when you feel that, you actually track down other lonely people and you say, Jesus loves you, and you see that kind of community built, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God makes everyone feel loved in community and known by God because God is with us. For those of you who this Christmas season you're trying to overcome a stronghold that's wreaking havoc in your life, you actually believe the lie that you'll never make it through this, you'll never overcome this. It's a lie. Jesus will step into your brokenness and you are more than an overcomer through the power of Jesus and through the power of his name because he is with you. He is with us. With that mentality, the God is with us, the God is with you mentality, that helps you cooperate with Jesus and he heals your brokenness. The second one, rest in the reality that God is with us and will never leave us. Some of us, not even knowingly, have scars from being rejected, and those who were the closest to us, were supposed to protect us, left us. And we have this feeling in the same way God is going to leave us. Say, they gave up on me. It could have been a father. the most important thing he would do would take care of his children or his child. But instead, he saw that responsibility. He saw the sacrifice it would have to take. He saw the changes we have to make, and he ran the other way. And so you feel that scar of leaving, and you think that God takes on the characteristics of an abdicating sinful father. Some of you maybe had a loved one you were so close to, married to, was a close friend, and they left you, and they rejected you, and they left that wound, and you feel that God is the same way. I'm here to tell you today that God will never leave you or forsake you. Jesus will never leave you or forsake you. He actually said those very words. He said, no one will rip you out of the hands of my Father. No one. Will they try? Yes. Will they succeed? No. And some of us really need a healing there. And I'm going to share a story that's going to make me seem more vulnerable and lower in your eyes, but I think it's important to heal for us to be honest and vulnerable and show God's grace in our lives. 15 years ago, I was 25 years old, and I didn't know my father growing up. He abdicated. He left, so in many ways, I had to fend for myself. And so what happened was I was trying to rebuild the relationship, and he wanted me to go golfing with him, okay? So I said, I'm going to go golfing with him. I'll do this. I'll try to build the relationship. But you probably wouldn't define my father as sober. That's probably not the first word that you would use to describe him. So I end up on this golf course. And what you don't realize is even if you don't know your father, there's something built into you that you want to please them and make them happy. Right? There's something built intrinsically. Like, this is my dad. I don't know him. He abdicated him, but I want to make him happy. So about the third hole, first of all, my father's a legend. He's an absolute legend. He wears 007 sunglasses. When you do that still, you know that you have crossed over into legend status. He's about 5'5". He walks around about 6'4 in his mind. You know what I mean? And so we go the first three holes. I start seeing some of my sinful tendencies. You know when you see those in your parents, like, oh, that's where I got it from. And then you see in the kids, oh, I gave it to them too. Like all those kind of things. And so I started realizing like there was a guy who wanted to get in the group because he didn't have a team and we had three and he could have fit in. And my father was like, no, we got our friends. Move along. And I said, that's where that comes from. I never want people in my group. And so about three holes in, he pulls out a joint. And I'm 25. You're going to understand, I was worshiping at church, playing chords, singing Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. So I was like at that point, right? So I'm 25. I hadn't smoked weed since I was in high school. I had walked in total sobriety. I mean, I had drink in moderation here or there, but in my mind, I said, this is a way I can connect with my dad. What's one puff gonna do? Maybe two. Hey, Joey, I'm with my dad on a golf cart. It's a good day. Let's do it. Higher than the moon. I was higher than the moon. All of a sudden, now, I got a third eye as it is. I'm hypersensitive to everything. I see every move. I was born with, like, I'm observing everything to the moon. And I see my dad as he is. And all of a sudden, first of all, I laugh through the ridiculous stuff because he's there with a buddy to talk about how long they hit it. And when you see in that paranoia smoking a joint, I'm saying joint, I'm old now, but smoke a joint, like everything's hyper. It's exaggerated to say the least. So I realize I see that. But all of a sudden, that wound of being left by him, it opens up in the middle of that. And I feel so lost because I've taken two hits and I haven't smoked and I'm higher than the moon. Guys, I'm not lying to you. I somehow was hitting the ball but had no idea where it was going. So I'm just looking at a green field. I'm just walking, hoping I find a ball. And he starts yelling at me like, Joey, come on, we got to get going. So I'm feeling all these feelings. I'd find the ball. I had to leave on like the 13th hole. I said, I can't do this. I need to leave. But what it did is it opened up something that God was dealing with in my life. I felt deeper than I even realized the wounds of my father leaving me. And when that wound came to the forefront, I realized that Jesus had to step into my brokenness, and he had to heal me. I swear I haven't smoked in 15 years. Guys, you have a pastor who's not smoking weed. But that wound opened up. And when we see that wound, I had to reach out to Jesus and say, Jesus, you have to heal this, because that's deeper than I even knew. That wound's deeper than I even knew, and it's affecting my personality. It's affecting the way I treat people. It's affecting the way I sleep. It's affecting the way I love. It's affecting, you know, how I see the world. And you know, I can say in all honesty, over the past 15 years, seeing that wound, Jesus stepped into that brokenness. And I never feel like God's going to leave me. I feel like he loves me and he's with me. And that's a work of God's grace. Amen. I want you guys to feel that in any brokenness you're going through where you think God's going to leave you. Because he is not. It's not in his nature. It's not who he is. The incarnation says, I'm not giving up on you. I'm coming to be with you, walk among you, and fight for you. I will protect you. I will never leave you. I will save you. So God will never leave us. And the final thought in conclusion. See, one of the biggest fears we maybe have when people have sinned against us and we're trying to heal from those wounds, we feel like it's always going to be like this. I'm always going to be this anxious. I'm always going to be this depressed. I'm always going to be this lonely. I'm always going to be like this. But Jesus steps into that brokenness and says, you won't always be like this. Because when you walk with me, when you realize I'm with you, you can never stay the same. He starts to heal that brokenness. And you begin to love and forgive and walk in his grace and know that he's for you. So Restoration Road, during the Christmas season, I want you to know this, that God is with us in our brokenness. He's not afraid. He's running towards you. And he's going to heal you and he's going to restore you. Believe you that with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and strength, because that is the truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are a good, good Father. We see this, the greatest gift you gave us was you sent your son Jesus, born as a baby, to grow up as a man, to be with us, to resist sin perfectly, to walk fully in his divinity and humanity, yet without sin, to save us, to become a sacrifice, to die and rise again, that we might be made alive and be loved. We know that you are with us. We know that you are with us. I pray that even as we sing these next few songs and as we take communion, we know that in a deeper way than we've ever known. We feel your presence all around us. We feel your healing power. And we know it. I ask these things in the wonderful name of your son, Jesus. Amen.